Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. It's an honor to be on this program.
Well, it's an honor to have you here on this program. A bit of a slip-up last week for you, Jared. Joe gets the victory last week, but right back to your winning ways this week on Jared versus Joe. Congratulations yet again to another victory for you.
Yeah, last week, I guess I called an audible because I didn't tell Caroline I was going to do this. I probably thought about it about 5 minutes before I decided to do it. But Caroline was way more fired up about the preposterous discussion that was happening yesterday on this program about Tennessee 10-2 trying to make the college football playoff. And I didn't hear it. I mean, I literally didn't hear it, which is one of my biggest pet peeves, is when somebody is like, I heard you say, and I'm like, did you hear it? No, but I heard that you said, I'm like, maybe you should hear it. I didn't hear what you guys were saying, but a bunch of people were saying, you know, Robbie and Joe are going off the deep end today talking about Tennessee being 10-2 and making the college football playoff. So I was like, well, we're going to have to talk about this. And, we ran some cuts or whatever, but Caroline did hear it, and I guess she was all worked up. So I just decided to switch seats, and I let Caroline and Joe yell at each other for an hour. And I have to say this. I did like Joe's argument. Like, I thought Joe's argument was well prepared. I guess I probably agree with Caroline's premise more, but I thought Joe's argument was well prepared about why a 10-2 Tennessee team should be considered for the playoff. But, man, Caroline was all fired up for that. So that was kind of enjoyable for me to kind of switch seats for a second.
Well, Joe, I will say it to Jared's point there. I think the spiciest moment yesterday in Jared versus Joe was between you and Caroline, not you and Jared, which is a refreshing change of pace.
Well, we kept fighting about it on Twitter, too. Like, I'm actually more mad at Caroline than Jared today. So that's quite a change of pace.
And
of course,
I will say this. When I got tagged in on that on Twitter, and all of a sudden last night I'm trying to watch the Braves as they choke up one of the biggest games, and I'm also watching the Mets as they come back to win, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm getting all these tweets from you and Caroline. Like, at that point, I was like, okay, I'm over it, guys. I'm over it. Like, I moved on. This preposterous discussion that occurred on the Robbie and Rex Road program yesterday. I'm over it. I've moved on. But, yeah, you guys were still going back and forth.
Well, first off, congratulations on getting your Twitter account back. I was worried about you the other day. But glad to see you back up and running on the social media.
Did you buy any of my crypto that as my Twitter got hacked, and apparently I'm starting to promote crypto. And the best is when it happened. Like, as soon as it happened, as soon as my Twitter got hacked, I texted Chase and one of the bosses at SiriusXM, and I was like, hey, FYI, like, my Twitter got hacked, so if anything comes out of it, it's not me. And they're like, okay. Then I texted Caroline, and I was like, just can you keep an eye on it for me? She's like, I got you. About 2 hours later, she goes, well, it must be nice to not be connected on Twitter, but you are pumping digital currency right now. And I was like, oh, no. So, yeah, it was about 4 hours where I was trying to sell this new crypto, apparently, to everybody. Hopefully nobody bought it. But, yes, that was.
You are a big crypto guy, though, right? Aren't
you
a big crypto guy?
Big time.
That's a joke, right?
Yes.
I thought I've heard you talking about crypto, no?
Yeah. So when the Titans drafted Caleb Farley in the first round, I compared doing that to my buddies that buy crypto that are like, dude, like crypto. And I'm like, that's great for you. Maybe one day you'll have your own private island, and I won't, but I'm going to stick to buying real stuff. And it looks like Caleb Farley was like investing in crypto. So I think it was a great comparison the day after the 21 draft.
Shout out to Odell Beckham Jr. for taking his contract in crypto last year with the Rams. That worked out really well. So, Jared, you and I have had this discussion at different points throughout the last couple of years, and it's the Tennessee Volunteers, this city, this state, and where they – what their popularity is now based on, you know, obviously back in the heyday, the late 90s, early 2000s, they were by far the most popular sports team in the state of Tennessee. The city has changed since then. There have been people – that have moved in throughout the South, throughout the North, come down here to Nashville. It's a much different city, as you're well aware of now. With Tennessee now being relevant again in the top 10 in football, big win against Florida this past week, do you buy that Tennessee is now once again the most popular sports team in this state?
No, absolutely not. What a wild question.
Who is? Who
is? Wait. Excuse me. You said the state?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought you were talking about the city.
Throw the city in there.
The city, absolutely not. The state, I can't tell you. Because, like, I don't spend any time in Memphis. So I can't tell you, like, what the state is. You know, I don't know, like,
well, let's keep it to the city.
There's information available, Jared, to help form these opinions.
Yeah, I saw the most cherry. I heard yesterday somebody tweeted in the show that the Vols had higher TV ratings this weekend than the Titans. Then we looked it up, and the Titans actually had higher TV ratings than the Vols. And so then somebody turned it into some cherry pick stat about the Monday night game. But I will say this, it's really not close. It's the Titans. And when you said the early 2000s, the Vols were more popular than the Titans, mm-hmm. if we're just talking about Nashville, like the mid-state area, you know, I don't know, because the Titans were the way that the Titans kind of set the city on fire that first year that they were the Titans. I mean, the Titans were really popular for like the first 10 years of the Titans. I mean, you couldn't buy a ticket to a Titan game. Not that tickets, you know, define, you know, necessarily are the number one element of it. But I don't think it's close. I think that the Titans are way more popular than the Vols in the city of Nashville.
I think that's not true.
And why do you think that?
Well, look, I think that you're talking about a 20-year-old fandom situation. I mean, we talked about this. You don't have the generation. You do now. You have some kids who were kids. You're one of them, right, when the Titans got here. But you're talking about generations of people with the Vols. And in both cases, you've got people from all over, you know, the country who have moved to Nashville. But it's just such a – I mean, I understand the TV ratings for the Titans have been higher, which is great for the Titans. And maybe I'm a little biased by – on Saturday I'm in a stadium, and I understand it's 2.5 hours away. But there's a lot of people who were on that road with me there to that absurd atmosphere, which might be like as good as you can find in college football this year with 102,000 people in that stadium. And then I drive back here Sunday morning, and I see how many empty seats, you know, were in Nissan on Sunday because, you know, the Titans are 0-2.
I didn't feel like it was all that empty. I mean, I didn't feel like it was.
It wasn't terrible, but, you know, it was. Do you think that atmosphere Sunday? And I understand. Look, this is what it is. It's a struggle with attendance. But when you looked at that atmosphere Sunday and the empty seats and compared it to last season, did you not think there was a big difference?
I mean, I think there was a big difference between that and the Cincinnati playoff game. Do I think that there was a big difference between, you know, an early season game last year and the game in the game on Sunday? I mean, I'll say this.
Yes,
I
sat in the crowd. Were all full last year, Jared.
I sat in the crowd Sunday and, like, in it. And at no point did I think anything about the crowd. Like, at no point did I think, man, you know, look at all these. I mean, if anything, I was surprised that maybe there weren't as many Raider fans as I was expecting, because the Raiders are a very popular team around the country. And so when a popular team around the country shows up, especially one that's more of a West Coast team, shows up on the eastern part of the country, there's usually a lot of fans because people that live in, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, that are Raider fans are like, this is the only chance we have to go see the Raiders. I guess I was a little surprised that there weren't more Raider fans on Sunday, but I don't by any means. I didn't think that crowd was bad at all. I thought it was a fine crowd. This wasn't like the Ken Whisenhunt days where I remember they played the Dolphins, and I remember seeing the Aqua throughout the stadium and thinking to myself, the Dolphins don't even have fans in Miami. How do they have so many fans at this game? I mean, so it wasn't – I didn't think it was a bad crowd.
Regardless, that's still separate from the point here.
I mean, like this
– You have actually said – but you've actually said, Jared, like no one cares about the Vols in Nashville. I mean, that's just so ridiculous. Come on. I mean,
so the Vols have played their biggest rivalry game in which it went down to the wire and they won – on CBS on Saturday, right?
Okay.
So that game did not even come really all that close to what the Titans game did TV ratings-wise on Sunday.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to check those numbers. I've seen differing accounts on that. But the
News Channel 5 is the one that has them. Mark Bend is the guy who does it. Steve Lehman put it out there. The Titans had like a 23 or something, and the Vols had like a 17.
Okay.
We'll double check. 615-737-1025. Jared, go ahead, Joe. Finish.
Well, I'm sorry. So, I mean, really, the question here is, in the mid-state then, or whatever you want to do, Nashville proper, you are saying there are way more people who are fans of the Titans than people who are fans of the Vols. And obviously, a lot of them are both. But you think that there's a much bigger collection of people who are fans of the Titans than Vols?
Yes. I would not, if I was on the air Monday, I would not have talked about the Vols at all. It would have been 4 hours of Titans.
There we go. Jared Stillman joins us every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex. So, Jared, congratulations once again on your victory.
I have one more thing because I know what Joe's talking about. I guess Braden Gall sent out a tweet that said that, like, the Vols TV rating was close for the Monday night game. And I'm literally – that is the most cherry-picked stat of all time. The Vols' biggest rivalry game that went down to the wire on CBS against a Titan game that was on a cable channel. I know they put it on Fox 17 too, but I'm guessing that they just took the ESPN rating. That was on a cable channel that was over when the quarterback was taken out in the third quarter when another NFL game was going on. Very cherry-picked. I don't think that it's close between those
two. But you also – that's fine, but let's also make sure you're accurate. 22-3 to 18-7. I think you. What'd you just say? 24-17. You don't need to exaggerate, Jared.
I think I said 23.
You don't need to
17.
Exaggerate, Jared. So basically, it's a three. It's a 3-point difference.
That's big in TV.
Okay.
Jared Stillman, our guest.
But nobody cares about the Vols. Nobody cares. Don't talk about the Vols ever. It's a good strategy, Jared. Nobody cares about them.
Jared, thank you for joining us. We'll talk about him on Monday. See you guys.
See you, Jared. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. What do you make of the kind of the split in the fan base here in Nashville? Who does Nashville care more about, the Titans or the Vols? We'll get into that discussion coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Caroline, you go first. What is your main issue with Joe's 10-2 stance on Tennessee football?
Well, I just think it's ridiculous to say that a two-loss team would deserve to get in the playoff. One, because a two-loss team has never gotten into the playoff. If you lose two games against two of the best teams in the country, yeah, that probably means you're a pretty darn good team. But that does not mean you're one of the four best teams in the country. If USC is undefeated, if Clemson is undefeated, if Ohio State is undefeated, those teams have a better resume to get into the playoff. It's the same thing last year with Cincinnati getting into the playoff. They were undefeated. Baylor won their conference, but they had two losses. They did not get in. Ohio State had two losses. They did not get in. those teams both played a harder schedule than Cincinnati played, but Cincinnati was undefeated, so they got in because that sends a message of if you're undefeated, it doesn't matter what you have to do. If you won your conference, if you went 12-0 throughout the season, there's nothing more than you can do because you're still not going to be better than a two-loss Tennessee team, and that is absolutely preposterous. That is not how the college football playoff works.
Murder on the beat. That was Caroline Fenton getting after Joe Rexroad yesterday on what was supposed to be Jared versus Joe, but Joe kind of turned into Caroline versus Joe yesterday. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, it got a little spicy. So, and we had a good conversation there. Obviously, first of all, this came up because, you know, it's an interesting thing to discuss. Not some declaration for me that they would absolutely be in. As you know, you were part of the discussion. But there's a few things I have a problem with. First of all, the two things that Caroline has argued here that I have a big problem with. One is, it's never happened before, so no, it can't happen. Well, it's not like we've had decades of the college football playoff. And as I pointed out to her and Jared, we have had three two-loss number fives. The other thing was on Twitter, and this gets me to a major pet peeve. That goes to March as well.
Okay.
And it's here, this is what you hear every year during as the selection committee's coming up or people are talking about who's on the bubble or who's what seed or whatever. I hear this every year. Well, we went 10-6 in the league and finished third, and they went 8-8 and finished fifth. How could they be ahead of us? It's the same thing as the argument, and I'm going to read this tweet from Caroline in this, because to me, it's the same thing. We're putting value on something that actually officially is not valued, and that is winning a division, okay? The conference championship is stated as a tiebreaker. In fact, I just looked at the CFP guidelines this morning. You know, they're on their website. I know everybody's like, yeah, well, the playoff committee moves the goalposts, and that's, I agree, but I'm just saying officially a conference championship is a tiebreaker, but that's what it is. It's a tiebreaker. It's not as important as I think some people say. So this is what Caroline's tweet said. One of those losses, you know, my comparison here, the big comparison here is 2019 Georgia. As I pointed out, 2019 Georgia, two loss, non-champion, fifth. Okay. So you are the last team out of the field as a two loss non-championship, Georgia 2019. Caroline said, but one of those losses came in the SEC championship, which is true. They got destroyed by her LSU Tigers 37-10. And then she said Georgia at least won the East that season. Two regular season losses without a trip to the conference championship doesn't carry as much weight as one regular season loss in a division win. Winning your division means nothing because it's a complete random. As we all know, there are teams. What it means is it gives you another opportunity for a quality win. We all know there have been plenty of years where the third best team in the West was way better than whoever the heck came out of the East, right?
Yes.
I mean, this has happened many times. This is why we're getting rid of divisions, by the way. Like, we're getting rid of divisions because they're stupid, and they force you to put, you have this great division over here, you have this one. Oh, I won the division. Congratulations. And it's even, and you can take that to championships too. Oh, I won the Pac-12. Great, I'm the fourth best SEC team, and I could beat you by 30. I don't care. And that's what the committee is supposed to be doing, is they're supposed to be gauging the quality of these teams. So let me go to 2019 Georgia, which again was a two-loss non-champion, did get to the SEC title game, which was important because it gave them an opportunity against LSU. And that was, and there was some discussion that going into that, what if Georgia is really close? What if they hang in this game, right? Well, they didn't, and they still ended up fifth. That Georgia team that year, they did beat a number seven Notre Dame team early in the year. That was a good win. They beat Florida, number six, and they won at Auburn, which held up okay. Auburn ended up 9-4. They also lost to South Carolina, in double overtime. Okay, a bad loss. South Carolina in 2019 under Will Muschamp went 4-8. So they had a bad loss on the resume. They got destroyed by LSU. They did have three good wins, and they finished fifth. So now let's take it to this team. Again, the hypothetical, and as I said to them yesterday, it has to be max value. So Pittsburgh has to have a great season. That has to hold up. Florida, as good as they can be. Right now, Kentucky's undefeated, top 10. And then, of course, as we know, LSU, you're on the road to LSU. How valuable is that going to be? Got to be max value. And then, of course, Georgia-Bama. First of all, that is objectively a much tougher schedule than 2019 Georgia played, okay? Now, number 7, Notre Dame at home, probably still better than at Pittsburgh, but the SEC schedule, it's not close. So you're telling me that if Tennessee, again, in this scenario, is close, is in a fourth quarter game, is competitive, the committee watches them play against Bama and Georgia and says, wow, they're right there with them, and then they win all the other games, who has the better resume?
Well, I think you could certainly make the argument for Tennessee. Now, I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it now. I don't believe the committee would put them in. Like, I don't think that would happen at two losses.
Well, okay, in any scenario? I mean, I agree, like, it's going to be hard for that to still make the case over an undefeated team. Like, undefeated.
For sure not. Undefeated, they're not getting in. I don't think there's any question about that. A one-loss USC, one-loss Clemson, two-loss Tennessee – I still don't think the committee would put them in because I do think that the – regardless of whether or not it's right, and I know it's not right, but I do think the conference stuff matters. Like, they don't want to put three SEC teams in there, and they wouldn't do it, well, I don't think.
That may be true. But, I mean, if that played out – I mean, you may be right on what would happen, but if that played out – I mean, honestly, I don't even think it would be like if USC loses, like they lose to Utah, what do they have to stand on?
I don't know. I mean, it's a great question.
Clemson, now what? I mean, they've got Pittsburgh coming up. I mean, the NC State game here.
They did just have a good win. I mean, it was a ranked win. They got a top 10 matchup this week, regardless of whether or not I believe NC State is a top 10 team. They are a top 10 team as of now that you're about to play this weekend.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I think that the backlash over you can't possibly – I mean, the conference thing would, I think, absolutely would hurt Tennessee. But it is – I mean, if you want to talk about a two-loss possibility, I mean, you know, you can't have much better combination of factors with those wins – and the fact that you had to play both of those teams, Alabama and Georgia, it would be fast. And that's the whole point of the discussion. It would be fascinating. But I still say Georgia getting that close with what they did compared to what this would be, to me, clearly better than what Georgia did that year.
We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Got a lot of thoughts to get to on what the city of Nashville cares more about, the Vols or the Titans as well, coming up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a message from OrderGreen.com.
I do have a message from OrderGreen.com, and it is a very important thing for me in my life, folks, as someone who, you know, at times deals with stress. There is some stress in the life here, some anxiety, and certainly as I get older, quite a bit older than 30-year-old Robbie there, some inflammation as well. OrderGreen.com is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. You got edibles, gummies, vapes, flower, a wide selection of high-quality THC and CBD products, a team that's very knowledgeable. You're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers. You're getting nationwide same-day delivery right to your door, and you're getting 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. I've got a growing list of friends and family who have jumped onto this and love it. And they all use promo code JOE20, which you should do too, because you get 20% off your first purchase. OrderGreen.com.
All Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000 and get $125 cash back with your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Keegan from Nashville. Keegan, thanks for hanging with us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me this morning. So I've been in Nashville for 6 years, and I got to say the Vols' presence is very low. You know, most of my friends that are out here, you know, I'm 30 years old. Most of them are in their 30s, late 20s. Big Titans fans, you know, they consider themselves founding members of that franchise when it moved to Nashville and became the Titans. And, you know, the Vols, for most of them, they were 10 to 15 years old at the oldest when the Eric Ainge era ended and they went to that last SEC championship against LSU. And now, truthfully, I'm from Baton Rouge, so it's also an analogy there with the state of Louisiana. Nashville will always be a Titan city, just like New Orleans will always be a Saint city, whereas you'll have Knoxville, you'll have East Tennessee, and you'll have Baton Rouge, and you'll have the rest of South Louisiana follow that college team. There's just no better comparison, and there's no way that a Vols team that hasn't beaten Vanderbilt in Nashville in front of a crowd since 2014 will have a larger fan presence in the city. I mean, come on, man. It's 2014. Can't beat Vanderbilt? Anchor down. Have a great day, y'all.
Now we get to
Stuck
the truth,
there. Keegan. Now we got in there. There we go. Wondered where that was going. Good job, Keegan. Well done.
Yeah, but I mean, he brings up good points. I mean, I think this is a pro sports town, okay?
Yes.
Like, that's what happened. You a bigger city, you have pro teams, and we do talk Titans way more than Vols, and we talk Preds through the year. We talk Preds quite a bit, right? I mean, quite a bit more than Vols, I would say.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because that said, I still feel like, and again, I said this on the text line to somebody. I think if you're able to consider Nashville, like the mid-state area or greater Nashville, if you can expand it some, then I still think you might count up more Vols fans than Titans fans. Maybe I'm wrong. If you go strictly Nashville proper, then, you know, then I think it's easier to say there's more Titans fans. I mean, I'd love to somehow have this tallied up. Now, you know, I don't think there's any comparison in size of fan base, right? I mean, we should all be able to agree on that. When you have a huge public university, especially and with this kind of tradition and everything, you're just churning out, like, you have a huge fan base all over the world that I would say dwarfs the Titans fan base. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, and I'd also add to that and say if you extend this conversation to the state as a whole, I don't think it's overly close.
That's not close, no. But again, that's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about Nashville. It's a pro sports town. So it's a really interesting one. I do feel like that. I mean, I know some Vols fans who kind of have, you know, some of it's just like life stages and kids and everything, but like, used to go every weekend and don't and things like that. But I also feel like a lot of people who have kind of been like, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm just going to sort of do other things are probably going to be coming back into the fold.
Yeah.
If things keep going the way they're going. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion, but the problem I have is like Jared has actually said, nobody cares about the Vols in the city of Nashville, which again is like a Jared, let's just go way overboard and rip the wheel and go off the cliff with a way overboard take. That's my problem.
Well, the one thing that's, I think, difficult to figure out, because, and, you know, Chris has just pointed this out on the text line. Devin from Dover's pointed this out on the text line, too. You've had a ton of people move here over the course of the last 10, 15 years. A ton of people. And there's more people moving here every day. And I think for this city, I think you have seen people move in. Of course, people move in and they still retain their, you know, Steelers fandom or Bears fandom or Vikings, Packers fandom, whatever it is, they still retain that. But I do think there are people that move here and they become Titans fans or they become
Predators fans. I don't know how many people are moving to Nashville that weren't already Tennessee fans and are then all of a sudden becoming Tennessee fans. Like, it's just, it's not in the same city. It's different that way, yes. I think.
Yeah. I think, first of all, any big city on a particular Saturday, if you want to go around the city, go to the bar sections, you're going to find, you know, Bama fans will have their bar, and you're going to find Ohio State can load up a Penn State. I mean, Michigan State, they have a huge alumni thing here. You can find the NFL too, by the way. I mean, there's probably five Steelers bars in town.
Junie knows where the Steelers bars, and they're scary.
I've heard about that. I mean, some people were like, get out of my bar, buddy. Was it the Bills fans took over the Steelers bar or something like that? Yeah. They had Jets versus Sharks brawl.
A showdown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That alone means that there's just all kinds of different fandoms here. But whether it's like your number two team, which that's the case, right? For some people, I think some people, well, look at the Preds. People who are big hockey fans who move from the Midwest and maybe like they're really a Red Wings fan, but the Preds are number two in it. I think for some people, maybe they end up becoming number one over time. But you've got that aspect of it too. I just still feel like there's still enough people born and raised here who were born and raised on the Vols that if you really unearthed, you know, the fandom, it would certainly be substantial in this city. I don't see how anybody could argue otherwise.
Well, we've had a lot of talk about this on the text line and on Twitter as well. Digging through most of them, what I've been able to kind of come away with is if you're a Vols fan, well, the Vols are your answer in this conversation. But there's a lot of Titans fans. Like, we got a lot of Alabama and Titans fans on here.
Oh, there are a lot. Vols here.
Yeah, Bama and the Titans. So, if you're a Vols fan, you've got kind of a different perspective. Now, to your point, there is a pretty healthy Vols contingent here. Like, the idea that nobody in the city of Nashville cares about the Vols, I think is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Well, John, this is nice. John says, I'm a Browns and Ohio State fan. Honestly, I've never been more invested in UT and the Titans than since I moved here 5 years ago and started listening to y'all. So. And we'll take credit for that. Thanks, John.
Yes. Thank you, John. We appreciate
it. TB Joe.
That's right. That was an interesting Keegan on the haven't beat Vandy. I was like, wait a minute. I know I saw them beat Vandy, but he said in front of a crowd since 2014. So, yeah. Okay.
I also love how Keegan was like started off, you know, he was from Louisiana. I thought we were about to get into an LSU discussion and went straight to Vandy. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Threw in that anchor down. I love that. I love it, man. You know, there's another thing, by the way, on this is the Vanderbilt fandom in the city. And this is where, so I don't know if you saw like Ryan Field, Northwestern, they're building this completely new, like amazing, they're tearing down Ryan Field. They're building this new, like totally modern, smaller stadium, but it's also, you know, for concert purposes, things like that. I've always believed, you know, Vanderbilt should be the ultimate, like, so John invested in the Titans, right? In UT, because he's here, right? That second team is something that is a thing. The Preds for a lot of people, like I said, or the Titans for people. That's what Vanderbilt needs to aspire to be is, you know, you may be an alum of Washington or, you know, Boston College or Florida or whatever, but like come here because it's good entertainment and make this like your second team that you root for. Huge opportunity there, but you gotta make it, you know, you gotta make the place more enjoyable to go to, which they're trying to do.
Well, and you gotta win. That's what it boils down to.
Winning would help too. Yes. Yes.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexro. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
I will defend.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, without further ado, I turn things over to you.
Fred's gotten rid of that yet, by the way?
I did not hear it the other day.
Really?
Well, I don't know if they're doing that. I may have just not heard it. I don't know. But I didn't hear it the other day.
But you know, if they played it, you would have heard it. It's like, you know, you can't not hear fingers as they slide across a chalkboard, right?
I guess not.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. I mean, I feel like, you know, I feel like the Preds should listen to us for their, you know, for their in-game ideas more often. So, but I want to talk a lot of stuff still popping on the text line about Tennessee fandom. A lot of good thoughts there. Thanks to everybody for participating. I think it's an interesting discussion. I'd like to talk more about Tennessee fans right now.
Okay.
In particular, the group of Tennessee fans who have created a website, https://checkervandy.com.
I've seen this.
Checkervandy.com. And this website, in great detail, describes how Tennessee fans can checker Vandy when Tennessee plays at Vanderbilt in the traditional rivalry game at the end of the year.
Yes.
And in fact, there's a color chart, and it tells you Section A, you know, you wear this, Section B, all the way down, you know, Section A through V. Here's what you wear in this section. Here's what you wear in that section. It shows you what the stadium will look like. First of all, I absolutely, I mean, we can all agree, you know, attendance at Vanderbilt games has not been good lately. They have, you know, the program has essentially bottomed out a couple years ago. It's a long road back. So, you know, there are going to be plenty of days where the road team has a stronger presence than the home team right now at Vanderbilt. Clark Lee, of course, working hard to change that, but it's a big job. But first of all, like, this isn't like you still aren't going to get every seat, okay? Like, I mean, like, I have no question, especially if Tennessee keeps playing like this. I've seen that stadium for Tennessee Vanderbilt, I would say, with more Tennessee fans. More, but not like I haven't seen it like 80-20, but definitely more. Now, maybe, yep. I'm sure back in the day, maybe some of those, like when Tennessee was absolutely like top 10 program and Vanderbilt was a downstretch, maybe it was more 80-20. I don't know, but I've seen it certainly more. But I mean, there actually are alums who pay money and also students, although, you know, we'll see with their presence that waxes and wanes, who will be in that stadium. Like, you're not going to be able to do this. But beyond that, this is what you're worried about right now? You just beat Florida. You got LSU next. We're sitting here on this show talking about the playoff. Like, how much is Vanderbilt in your head? I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's a funny thing, but, like, there actually was work put into this website. Like, of all things you could be thinking about right now, like, what can we hang with Alabama? Can we hang with Georgia? Oh, Jaden Daniels and LSU got a chance to go right the wrongs from that Dooley loss up at LSU. Oh, Kentucky's undefeated in top 10. That's going to be a massive game. You're thinking about checkering Vanderbilt Stadium?
Hey, it's a good-looking website.
Come on, man. It is. Well, that's a thing. But it's like, dude, this is too nice. You put way too much thought into this. And again, I'll be very interested to see if this gets to the point where, like, people try to do this. It would be very difficult to pull off. It'll be interesting to see if they can. But, you know, like, you're still going to have, I don't know. Like, let's say Vanderbilt loses out till then, and Tennessee is kicking butt till then. So it's max excitement with one fan base, and it's, you know, like, get us to hoop season or baseball season for Vanderbilt. I still would guess you can count on 8,000 Vanderbilt fans. I think you can lock in like 8,000, maybe even 10, but I think you can lock in 8. Okay. Maybe you can lock in 7,000. Okay. Is that fair?
I'd say that's fair.
Okay. I mean, that alone's screwing up your checker, man. Like, your checker, it's not gonna work. So I think it's funny, and I appreciate the effort. But it's interesting. Like, if I'm a Vanderbilt fan looking at this, I'm kind of enjoying this. It's like the discussion we had earlier on the show about Jim Irsay, you know? Like, and it's different because they actually have, this is the team they're looking up at, and they're trying to win the division, but it's like, man, we're kind of in their heads. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, and this could be one Tennessee fan doing this, but it's like, your mind goes to Vanderbilt. Very interesting.
It is very interesting. I will say, like, if the season continues to go how, you know, we've talked about, there are going to be a ton of Tennessee fans at that Vanderbilt game. I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to be able to checker it, I don't think. Although, I will say, the more I look at this, the more I'd like to see them at least try it. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, right? You're going to have Vanderbilt fans in there, but like a smattering of a checker throughout the whole stadium, it would be interesting. If I'm Vanderbilt fans, this probably makes – like, this would make me, if I'm a Vanderbilt fan, more likely to buy a ticket to the game, even if I don't really want to.
Right. Just like,
to prevent this from happening.
Right. Like, you actually may be mobilizing the Vanderbilt fan base by doing this. Well, let me ask you this, Robbie. Will you participate? If you get a ticket to this game, will you say, let me look at this website. Okay, I'll wear white to this one.
No, man.
No? Okay.
No. Well, first off, especially in November, big fan of watching football on the couch with the TV. Big fan of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Robbie is not leaving his couch. He's not going to that game.
Probably not going to happen. I can't do the cold. Although, I mean, look, you know, if you're going to the game and you're a Tennessee fan, you're going to be wearing either orange or white. So you just got to make sure you sit in the right section, I guess. Like, I wonder, like, are Tennessee fans that do go to this Vanderbilt game, are they going to use checkervandy.com as, like, their guide as they move forward here? Like, how big is this going to get?
Well, so to that point, Liam on the text line is like, Joe, WTF, why publicize this? It's on the internet, bro. Like, if anything gets to, like, right in front of me, like, the day it happens, I'm pretty sure it's getting some widespread distribution, man.
Well, that's true.
I mean, come on. Yeah. And then, again, if I think Liam a Vanderbilt fan? I think so. Again. Put it out there. What is this? What's this do? Does this mean, does this actually work? Like, is this like reverse psychology and actually Vanderbilt fans show up in droves just to prevent this checkering, even though they're probably going to watch their team lose, like, I don't know. What's that game going to be? 45 to 21? 45-24?
I think Tennessee could probably get into the 50s if they really wanted to, but yeah.
Could be. I'm just, hey, things happen on the internet, man.
They do.
We can talk about things that happen on the internet. Sorry.
Gentry on the text line says, Joe, VFL alum here. You realize that the faction of fans that are focused on checkering Vandy don't have to focus on LSU, Kentucky, Bama, Georgia, et cetera, because they're also delusional enough to think that we're winning the Natty. That's from Gentry on the text line. So maybe that's it. Like, the Checker Vandy, whoever designed the Checker Vandy thing, thinks that this is going to be for Tennessee to finish off the 12-0 regular season.
Could be. Well, I tell you what, if it gets to that, then I would actually give them a chance to checker the place. Well, you'll have people paying like all kinds of money just to sit in that stadium for an 11-0 Tennessee team.
I think there would be a chance. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their big matchup against the Colts coming up this week. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy. From 6 to midnight, they'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5-106.3 The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5-106.3 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.